You know where I can help.
Okay, good evening and welcome to tonight's shir, tonight's pre-Chanukah shir. It's kind of hard to imagine, but Chanukah is actually next week.
Wow.
You know? And there's going to be Chanukah this year, even though there's COVID-19. We confirm that. And in Mitzvah Shem, we're still going to celebrate the Nes and the miracle of Chanukah, and it's going to be an amazing Chanukah, Mitzvah Shem. So let's begin with a fascinating sugya, Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that Cheresh Shota Vekata. If you have a Cheresh, a person who's a deaf mute, you have a Shota, a person who's not 100% mentally, and a Katan is a child under Bar Mitzvah, it would seem. If they light your Chanukah candles, lo asa v'lo klo. They did nothing. It's like your Chanukah candles aren't even lit. It's a mirage. It's not really lit. Gemara says, women, however, nashim, even though Chanukah is kind of like a mitzvah that's zman grama, a time-bound mitzvah. However, nevertheless, Gemara says that they are obligated because af, hein, hayu, ba'oso, hanes. But they were also part of the miracle, therefore they have a similar obligation to men. Interestingly enough, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down that women, so does the Shulchan Aruch, that women have a greater observance of Chanukah than men, because the women have a custom that for the half hour after the Chanukah candles burn, women refrain from doing melacha, which would be work that's prohibited on Chol HaMoed. So laundry and sewing and things like that, they should not be doing that a half hour after Chanukah lights are ignited, because the women not just were part of the nest, but he brings down that there was a woman Yehudis that the governor decreed that she has to be with him. And she said, no problem, but let's first have a romantic dinner. And she brought cheese and wine, and she gave him some cheese, and he got thirsty. Nothing like a little Chav Yisrael cheese for a Greek general. And then she gave him some wine, nothing like a little non-mavushal wine for a Greek general. And he fell asleep, and she chopped his head off. And when she brought it to Yerushalayim, so the army saw that, and the army was so traumatized that they just scattered and ran. And that was part of that assisted the Maccabim with the Akashmonaim, with the victory. So actually, women have not just that they're obligated to Chanukah; they have additional observance on Chanukah. Okay, but that's nothing to do with this year. The problem is like this: that the Gemara talks about menorah, like the menorah. The menorah seems like a katan, a child. He has no obligation. Katan lights for you, nothing. The problem is that the Gemara says in the Sechas Megillah on Daf Yotes Amabez, the Gemara says, "Hakol Kshei in the Christmas Megillah." Everyone is kosher to read the Megillah. Chutz mecheresh shota v'katan, except for a cheresh shota v'katan. Same statement. Cheresh is a deaf mute. Shota is someone that's not 100% in charge of their mental capacities. And a katan, and a child. But the Mishnah there adds, Rabbi Yehuda machshir v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a child could light Chanukah, that could read the Megillah. So it's fascinating. On one hand, the Gemara, when it speaks about Chanukah, says that a katan, a child, it seems like everyone agrees. A child, menorah lighting is zero. It's not worth anything. And when it comes to Mesechas Megillah, when it comes to reading the Megillah, there Rav Yehuda says that a child could read the Megillah. Now, both of these mitzvahs are both mirabbanans. Chanukah and Megillah, lighting the menorah and reading the Megillah, are both mirabbanan. They're both rabbinically enacted positive commandments. But for some reason, by Megillah, there's an opinion that a child is kasher. And by Chanukah candles, there's no such opinion. Even more so, the Gemara Megillah has an ahava, and tries to say that actually this that the Mishnah says that a child can't read Megillah is only a child shalohi gialachinuch, a katan shalohi gialachinuch, a child that didn't get to the age of aptitude where you have to start giving him chinuch, we have to start educating him and training. However, once a child reaches this age and the stage where he's capable of understanding, processing, and observing, then could be the child could read Megillah according to everybody. So, according to that perspective, definitely you would think that the Gemara and Chanukah should differentiate maybe between a child that's under the age of Chinuch and a child that's the actual age of Chinuch. Okay, so this is the question actually of Yad Melech. Yad Melech asked this question, and he says, why, first of all, why does the Gemara compare Megillah and Chanukah candles? Number two, at least bring down the Gemara and Megillah should bring the Gemara and Chanukah, but the Gemara and Chanukah should bring the Mishnah and Megillah. It should bring one another. But it seems like there's a difference between Chanukah and reading the book. But he says like this. The Yad Melech answers like this. He says that when it comes to their Chanukah, certainly a child is not obligated in lighting Chanukah candles. He's not obligated, he can't light for anyone else. Why? He says, because the rabbis are not going to put a mitzvah on a child that he can't fulfill. Why? In order to light Hanukkah candles, you have to have oil, you have to have a menorah, you have to have candles. Where do children have money from? We don't obligate them to sell the shirt off their back like we do for an adult. So since it's not really within their purview, it's not within their ability to have Hanukkah candles, so it's not possible for the Rabbanah, for the rabbis to obligate or even say that a child is in the picture of lighting Hanukkah candles. Now his parents can give him, but they can't obligate the child. And since he's not obligated, even for chinuch, therefore, if he lights it, it's nothing. However, says the Yad Melech, that when it comes to reading the Megillah, that doesn't cost anything. On the contrary, you can have a child that's really proficient at reading, and he wants to read Megillah. So maybe there's the Rabbanan said, at least we give him the shot, we give him an opportunity that if he'd like to, he could read the Megillah. So says the Yad Melech. So he differentiates between Megillah and Chanukah. Megillah, he says, maybe a child could do it. Why? Because it doesn't cost anything. So maybe the rabbi said there's a mitzvah of chinuch. Educate the child. And you know what? If he's considered in the realm of chinuch when it comes to Megillah, well, then maybe he could read it as well. But by Chanukah, it's impossible that we could obligate him for that. Why is it impossible? Because it costs money. And the rabbis cannot obligate a child to do a mitzvah that costs money. So writes the Yad Melech. The Baal HaEter, many, 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 many years before the Yad Melech, the Baal HaEter disagrees with this Yad Melech. And he writes in Hilchos Megillah, that even though we don't rule like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which says that a katan could read Megillah, however he passes, if you have a katan shehigia lechinuch, if you have a child that reached the age of education, where he has the aptitude and the ability to fulfill a mitzvah, then he could actually read the Megillah for others as well, because the whole Megillah is only a Rabbanan. This child, if he's a gia lechinuch, has an obligation to be a Rabbanan, and therefore he can read Megillah. Hilchas Chanukah also, the Baal HaEter says, that katan sheigia lechinuch, a child that reaches the age of maturity of understanding, where he's capable of lighting Neres Chanukah, he also could light, and he could even light for an adult. So we have a machlokas here. The Baal HaEter says that Megillah and Chanukah are the same. That a katan that's magia lechinuch, a child that reaches the age of education, he can read and not just read for himself, not just light for himself, he can read and light for others. However, Yad Melech, based on the Gemara, it seems like for the Gemara, says that no, only by Megillah could a child do something. Hanukkah would cost money, he can't. Seems like that's the machlokes. The Kli Chemda differentiates, and he says like this, that when it comes to Megillah, you could say, he gives another difference of why it is that by, so he's going to argue on the Baal HaEter, and he's going to hold like the Yad Melech, but he's going to give a different reason. What's the reason he says that there's a difference that by Megillah, a child could emotzi somebody. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, a child cannot. So he says like this. When it comes to the Yantif of Chanukah, in order for a child to be obligated in Chanukah candles, or be in the Parsha, in the concept of lighting Chanukah candles, you have to implement the concept of the idea of Af Hein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes. The children were also part of the miracle. So like this. By Megillah, he says, the children were part of the miracle. The decree was lahashmid ulaharo ulamid, to annihilate tav v'nashim, from adults, men and women and young children. Everybody should be annihilated. So then a child is also by chlal oso mitzvah. Av hein ayu ba'oso anas, he's also part of the miracle. Therefore, when it comes to Megillah, once a child reaches the age of chinuch, so at least he understands what's going on, that child can read the Megillah, says the Kli Chemda. However, when it comes to Chanukah, he says something very interesting. He says, what was the main decree against the Jews? So we know the Greeks weren't trying to kill us, at least not physically, maybe spiritually. And they said, you can't keep Shabbos. And they said, you can't make a bris on your kid. And you can't keep Rosh Chodesh. And you can't study Torah. So the adult community was in great danger. Why? Because maybe they had an obligation to give up their life, particularly if it was a Tashas HaShemad, a time where of oppression, where they're trying to help us, you know, make us lose our religion. So in that situation, anyone who was part of the miracle of Chanukah has an obligation to let me know. But the children, they had no obligation, obviously, and, you know, put their life in danger. A child's not obligated in the mitzvah pikuach nefesh of giving up their life rather than violate a prohibition, just an adult. So there was no danger for the children anyways because they were not obligated to give up their life. So therefore, you can't say afei no yibo sanes. You can't say they're part of the miracle. You can't say they're part of the miracle. Therefore, they can't light Hanukkah candles. Everyone agrees a child, even when they reach the age of education, can't light Hanukkah candles. So that's the Kli Chemda's differentiation whether you could say that they were included in the mace like they were by Purim, because the annihilation, the decree of annihilation, was against them as well, or by Hanukkah, where they were really not part of the decree. Okay, I hear maybe there were decrees that they can't keep Shabbos, but they didn't have to keep Shabbos because they didn't have the obligation to give up their lives. And I think that at the Gemara, it seems exactly like that. Because if you look at the Gemara and Hanukkah carefully, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos about Hanukkah, it says, Echere Shota Bekata, don't light Hanukkah candles, period. And the next line says, but women do. Why, says the Gemara? Because they are Afeinoyu Oso Anes. They were part of the miracle. Why does the Gemara juxtapose those two halachas? So don't say, says the Gemara, that a katan, that a child is also Oso Anes. No, it's not. Only women, therefore a child is not obligated. So it kind of seems very much like the Kli Chemda. The Rambam also seems like he wrote like the Kli Chemda. Because when the Rambam brings this halacha like this, the Rambam says, Ner Chanukah Sheikliko Cheret Shoto V'Katan. Chanukah candles, Chanukah lights that were ignited by a Cheresh, a deaf person, a Shota, a mentally incapable person, or a katan, or a child, or a guy, lo asa v'lo klum. Why does the Rambam bring a guy and lump it together with cheresh shota v'katan? It's strange. I mean, do we ever say that like a guy could do a mitzvah? I think what the Rambam is saying is that the guy is not, but wasn't ba'oso anes. The reason a guy, even if he wants like Hanukkah candles, can't do it for you is because he wasn't part of the nes. Says the Rambam, neither was the katan or a cheresh or a shota. Because had they been living in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they would not have been obligated to give up their life. Therefore, they're not considered part of the nes. Therefore, they cannot light it for somebody. That's the first piece over here. Understanding that there happens to be a machlokes, if there's a reason to differentiate between Chanukah, between Purim, between lighting menorah and mikvah, we have the opinion of the Yad Melech that says that there's a difference. We have the Klei Chemda that says there's a difference. And we have the opinion of the Baal HaItur that says that there's no difference, and that a child that reaches chinuch age can light regardless of can light, and he can also read the Megillah, so says the Klei Chemda. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, katan shehigia lechinuch, a child that reaches the age of education, tarich lahadim, he has to light. So it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the opinion of the Baal HaItur, which he's bringing actually, that if a child reaches the age of chinuch, and his Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah is something. It's obligatory. And perhaps he can even be motzi an adult. Now, let's take one step back and try to understand the practicality of a child lighting menorah. Because like this, the Gemara teaches us that there's really three levels of fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. There's a simple level. Then there's a secondary level called Mehadrin. And there's an even deeper or higher level of completion of fulfilling the mitzvah. That's called Mehadrin Mina Mahadrin, the most beautiful way to do it. What's the first level of Mahadrin? The level of Mahadrin is, I'm sorry, the first level period, the base level is, you light one candle every night of Chanukah. If a person does that, they fulfilled our mitzvah 100%. One candle for every single night. So first night, one candle, second night, one candle, third night, one candle, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have age called Mehadrin, which is an additional layer of mitzvah. It's more of a hidur. It's more of a beautiful way. And what is that? Each person in the family lights one candle. So again, not like we do. The base level is that you just have one candle for the whole family. Then comes the level of Mehadrin, which is that you light one candle. Every person in the family lights one candle. Then we have the level of Mehadrin, Mina Mehadrin, where we light an additional light each and every night. That's Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin. So let's think about this katan for a moment. Let's think about this child. So what does he do? So we're saying here that according to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, a child that reaches the age of chinuch of education, he also has the obligation of lighting. So what does he do? So let's understand this. If the family is just doing one candle for the whole family, well, he clearly is not doing anything. So what would it be? It would be in the mitzvah of Mehadrin, the layer of Mehadrin. What's Mehadrin? That each member of the family lights one candle. So maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch means to say, that in the level of Mehadrin, don't just light candles for the adult, make sure you also have a candle that's lit either by you or by the child. Once he's Magia L'chinuch, once he reaches the age of education, make sure he lights a candle as well. The Shulti HaGiborim, which is a commentary on the Rush, says that in the concept of Mehadrin, Kitanim are not obligated. He writes that if you have a home, and in the home, they're lighting a menorah already, they're lighting a Hanukkah candle, once you get to the level of Mehadrin, the child's not obligated. That means if the child has his own home, he's home alone for Hanukkah, whatever it is. By the way, that's the newest movie, Home Alone for Hanukkah. And he's home for Hanukkah, then he should light, because then it's the base level of the mitzvah. It's not the, it's the base level of the mitzvah. It's not Mehadrin or Mehadrin or Mehadrin. Once you get to Mehadrin, this secondary level, says the Shilta Yagibor Mekatan, even if he reaches the age of education, is not obligated, and so writes the Magen Avraham as well. The Machatzis HaShekel adds, and the Shulchan Aruch, and he says like this. He says, even though one is obligated to do b'mechanech their child, educate their child, but that's only in a situation where the chiyuv, the obligation, is mitzad hadin for a gadol. That means if this kid right here was a gadol, he would have an obligation to fulfill it. But writes the Machatzis HaShekel, an explanation of the Shilta Yagibor and the Magen Avraham, that in this situation, if this kid was an adult, he wouldn't have an obligation to light Hanukkah candles. Why? Because you just need one candle for the whole home. That's the chiyuv. So therefore, he says, the child does not have an obligation to light for Mahadran, for an additional candle, or for multiple candles. Again, the way he understands the Magen Avraham and the Shilta Yagibor is that if the child would be an adult and he'd have an obligation, a chiyuv, to light candles right now, let the child light. But he wouldn't. Someone in the house already lit. Therefore, we don't say that there's an obligation of Mehadrin or Mehadrin or Mehadrin, and therefore the child does not have to light. That's the opinion. However, he brings the words of the Rama. Rama says that this works for Sfardim. However, for Ashkenazi, that every person in the house lights their own menorah, means for Sfardim, they light one candle for each person in the home. Ashkenazim, each one of us lights our own menorah. So he says, then a child who reaches the age of chinuch does have to light his own menorah. This is what the Rama seems to mean. So let's understand something very fascinating about this concept or this idea. This is from the Sefer Shana Lachos, from Mishnah Lachos, from Thinker and Rebbe Menashe Hakutin Klein, who just passed away probably within the last decade or two. And he writes the following. He says that, interestingly enough, there's two types of hidur mitzvah. We throw around the term hidur mitzvah, which means doing a mitzvah in the most beautiful way. A guy buys a beautiful esrog and he pays extra money because he wants it to have no dots on it and have a beautiful gidul, a beautiful form, and a very nice color and bumps, etc., etc. That's hidur mitzvah, beautifying the mitzvah. That means he could fulfill his mitzvah with a much cheaper one, with a much more, it has some spots on it, and it's not such a nice, shape. But the fellow wants to do his mitzvah behidura. Or you could fulfill your mitzvah of Hanukkah candle, for example, with one of those 50 cents menorahs that they sell. You know, those tin menorahs that you kind of squeeze your candle into the top, into those little round metal things. They're 50 cents on sale in Gourmet Glot. 50 cents. So that's one way to fulfill your Hanukkah candles, and you fulfill your mitzvah 100%. But there's a nicer way. Like the poskim, right? You have a silver menorah, you put oil in it, and you put cotton wicks. That's fulfilling the mitzvah bihidura in a more beautiful way. That's usually when we kick around the term hidur, beautiful, beautifying the mitzvah. It means making the actual mitzvah itself nicer. That means you're doing the mitzvah, but you want to do the mitzvah in a nicer form. You buy a beautiful covering for your Sefer Torah, the Gemara says. That's one of the examples. However, he says, there's another type of hidur, which we don't find that often. And that hidur is nothing to do with the object, but very much dependent on the person. He says, you know where you find that? By Ner Chanukah. It means to say the following. According to the base level chiyuv of obligation of lighting Hanukkah candles, you need one light for the whole family. So the hidur here is not that you're making that light prettier. You're putting it in a big silver vase and you put the most purest virgin olive oil and the most gorgeous wick. No, that's not the hidur. The hidur here is that you're not just having one person lighting, you're having another person. So he says like this. He says, when it comes to lighting the Hanukkah candles of Mehadrin, Minha Mehadrin, he says, then there, the Hidur, that means when you're adding an extra light each and every night, there, that's already the classic Mehadrin, the classic kind of Mehadrin. You're lighting anyways, let's make it more light. Okay, that's Mehadrin, that's the classic Hidur. However, in the concept of Mehadrin, which is that you have one candle for each part for the house, now you're adding one for each person, what you're doing is you're giving more people chiyuv or obligations. There the hidur isn't in the candle. Nothing happened to the candle. The Hidur is that the person, the Gavra, the individual, now has to go and light where he didn't have to light before. So he says like this, pertaining to the concept or the idea of making the mitzvah more beautiful, a child is not obligated. So you buy your child, you want to buy your child a chinuch set, right? A lulav and esrog, that's kosher for a child. By the way, you're not supposed to give your child a lulav and esrog. A chinuch set means it's not kosher, mehudar. It's not so beautiful, but it's kosher. There's no reason for hidur. There's no concept or obligation to do hidur to make buying a more expensive lulav and esrog. No such thing. Why? Because the whole point of chinuch is to accustom the child when they're young to start fulfilling the mitzvah. Having the kid shake a lulav and an esrog is enough of making assuring that when the kid gets older, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, educate the child when he's young, so when he gets older, he doesn't let go of the mitzvahs. So as long as the kid is shaking a lulav and esrog when he's 7 or 8 or 9 years old, he'll remember he always shook a lulav and esrog. He doesn't think, oh, it was a beautiful, and therefore I want to make a more beautiful one. This is what happens in a home where you tell the children, you know what, we're fulfilling the mahadran, which is that everyone is lighting a candle. Besides for you, you're not doing it. Then the kid doesn't grow up lighting the Chanukah candles. So then it's not chinuch. Therefore, even in the concept of mahadrin, says Rabbi Nachman HaKatan, the kid would have to lead. Not like the Shilti HaGiborim, not like we saw previously, but on the contrary, he says, because since this is a different type of hidur, a different way to beautify the mitzvah, therefore, if the kid's not doing it, that's not chinuch. Therefore, the halacha is that the kid has to lead. So writes Rabbi Nachman HaKatan, a very nice, interesting svara, piece of law. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Megillah writes that the Cheresh Shot of the Katan lit the Chanukah candles, because that's where the laws of Chanukah are. He writes that if the Cheresh Shot of the Katan light the Chanukah candles, it's nothing. However, the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Baal HaEter, which is the opinion that we brought before. And some say if you have a Katan that's Magia L'chinuch, that if you have a child that reaches the age of education, then the child could light Chanukah candles. How about in Hilchos Megillah? In Hilchos Megillah, the Shulchan Aruch says, Cheresh Shoto V'Katan, a deaf mute, a person who's not 100% in control of their mental capacities than a child, Hashomeh Mimeno, if you hear them read Megillah, Lo Yatza, you don't fulfill your mitzvah. And there the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write that if they reach the age of Chinuch, they fulfill their mitzvah. The Rebbe that when I grew up, the Rebbe would call this Punkt Fakert. What does Punkt Fakert mean? The exact opposite, counterintuitive. The Gemara by Megillah adds this concept or idea of a child doing it. The Gemara even says that maybe that's talking about we reached the age of chinuch. And there the Shulchan Aruch shuts it down and says, no, only a gadol, only over bar mitzvah. But by Chanukah, where the Gemara says that a katan can't light Chanukah, there the Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Baal HaEter. You should know if he reached the age of chinuch, maybe he could. It just seems so counterintuitive. Exact opposite of what I would have thought it would be. What's the truth? The Prima Gadim. By the way, this is the question of the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Prima Gadim answers and he says like this. No. Halacha, we paskin differently. He says, the mitzvah of Megillah is a much higher caliber mitzvah than the mitzvah of Chanukah. Because the Gemara is called Megillah Divrei Kabbalah. Kabbalah doesn't mean mysticism in Kabbalah. What it means to say is, it's on the level perhaps of a Halacha L'Moshe Misina. But since Megillah is incorporated into the Chav Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, the 24 books of Tanakh. It's part of the Tanakh. That was part of what Esther David and was written Beruach HaKodesh. And it says in the Megillah that a person is supposed to read Megillah, then it has the level of Tanakh, of a mitzvah that's written in Tanakh. However, lighting the Chanukah candles is only a mere derabbanan. Therefore, writes the Prima Gadim, the rabbis were more lenient when it came to Chanukah, because it's just a derabbanan, and they let a child light Magia L'Chinuch, and even light for his family, possibly. However, when it came to Megillah, which is Divrei Kabbalah, it almost has the level of being part of Tanakh. Then the rabbi said, no, we don't make leniencies, and a child cannot read the Megillah. That's the Prima Gadim's approach. The Chacham Tzvi answers differently, and he says that there's a very big difference between Chanukah candles and reading Megillah. He says, when it comes to reading Megillah, every person, every Gavra, every individual has an obligation to either read or hear the Megillah. Then a child cannot be the one that reads. A child cannot be the one that's moti somebody else. However, when it comes to Chanukah candles, the mitzvah of Chanukah candles, he learns, is not a mitzvah on any individual in the home. It's a mitzvah on the bayis, on the home, that there should be candles lit. The Mela, he says, it doesn't make a difference to us who lit them. As long as the candles were lit, Even if a katan does it, it's okay. So in yeshiva terms, we used to call this, he's mechalik, he differentiates between the gavra, this is a mitzvah on the gavra, and this is a mitzvah on the chefza. The mitzvah of light, reading the Megillah is a mitzvah on the gavra. Every individual has an obligation to do it. He says, if you have an obligation, a katan who's a tudrabanan, because he's not even obligated, he can't be motzi, he can't discharge the obligation of someone who only has one drabanan. And when it comes to Chanukah, the point of Chanukah is not the gavra. It's not obligation on the visual. It's not the chefza, that the home, the object, the home, should have there is Chanukah lit it. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch was more lenient and said that if a katan is magia l'chinuch, he reaches the age of chinuch, halacha is that he could. Halacha, paskind, halacha, you know, practically speaking, the Shemit Shavura says, just like by Ner Chanukah, a child could be motzi, hu adin, similarly, when it comes to Mikra Megillah, when it comes to reading the Megillah, a child could also read the Megillah. Now, lechat chila, obviously, we're not going to use a child. Whoever writes the Mishnah Berurah in his makom and a mshas hadchak, you have a small little community and nobody can read the Megillah besides the katan. That situation, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that you could actually have a katan read Megillah on behalf of the people that are gedolim. So the halacha, we actually are congruent. We keep the halacha, you know, the same way in both areas. We're consistent. Both by Chanukah and by Megillah, a katan that's magia l'chinuch, a child that reaches the age of chinuch, a b'di'eved, definitely a light for gedolim. With that being said, l'chatchila, definitely, a person should not listen to a child read Megillah, number one. And when it comes to Neres Chanukah as well, the child should not be the one kindling for his family. He could kindle for himself, and that's how we pass in Ashkenazim particularly, that every person has their own Chanukiah, and a child who's magia l'chinuch, of course, should do it, and he should make the bracha. That's the tzak halacha. But for him to do it for the rest of his family, that's certainly not in the chatchila. And it's only a person should only do it b'di'eved. I want to add just one interesting concept when we're talking about this. We began and said that we mentioned that the Yevanim, the Greeks, decreed against four basic mitzvahs. They decreed against keeping Shabbos. They decreed against Bris Milah. They decreed against keeping Rosh Chodesh, which means coming and terminating. We just saw the new moon, so we'll know exactly what to keep the Yomim Tovim. They also decreed against Limud HaTorah, against studying. As a matter of fact, if the Medrash writes that they said, Kisvu Lachem al Keren Hashar, he told the Jewish people, write on the horn of an ox, Ein Lachem Chelek Be'elokei Yisrael, you have no portion in the God of Israel. What does that mean? What were they writing on the horn of an ox? So one explanation is that in those days they didn't have baby bottles. So if you wanted to give a baby something to drink, what did you do? You took the horn of an ox, up the edge off a small little aperture at the end. You put the drink inside of it. You seal the top somehow and the kid drank it. They wanted us writing on the children's baby bottles in Lachem Chelek Be'elokei Yisrael. Because they knew that if you're able to tamper with the younger generation, and you're able to raise them without Elokei Yisrael, you're not going to cheat your child Torah. They knew that there would be no next generation, there'd be no future to cloud Yisrael. The Greeks were not out to kill us over, that was the Nazis. That was many other societies, maybe the Romans as well. The Greeks were out to let ourselves kill ourselves. They knew that if they were able to take away certain key elements of Yiddishkeit, then we would automatically assimilate and their job will be done by us for them. So they knew that if we start young, children can't study Torah, can't teach children Emunah and Hashem. They knew that it would take a generation, maybe two generations, and that would be the end of Yiddishkeit. When it comes to Chanukah, we need to be mechazik ourselves in all the areas that they try to take away from us. Abbas, Rosh Chodesh, I don't know, there is Rosh Chodesh. Prismila, listen, I don't know if that's so practical, but definitely when it comes to Limud HaTorah, a person has to be mechazik himself. And more importantly, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, a person is also supposed to support people who study Torah. And I would add to that, children who study Torah. Because if the Greeks' intention was to have children stop studying Torah, that supporting children who are studying Torah or learning with children and making sure that Torah increases and Torah is not forgotten is the best revenge possible against the Greeks. Mitzvah, Hanukkah Mitzvah is next week. We'll hopefully have one more chair on Tuesday night next week. Start thinking about what we're planning on doing to upgrade our Hanukkah. You don't have to have a Hanukkah party to be mechazik in your Limud HaTorah. You don't have to have a Hanukkah party and be allowing a lot of people to support people who are teaching Torah, particularly to the young. You don't have to have that. So let's start thinking about it. So when Hanukkah comes, we could take the energy of Hanukkah and turn Hanukkah around in the faces of the Yavanim, in the faces of the Greeks. Have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for listening once again.